I want to open the Word of God for just a moment. Amen. The book of Hebrews, not Hebrews, the book of Isaiah. You can stand if you would for a moment. Amen. 53rd chapter of Isaiah. The 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground, and hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Amen. Everybody say, by his knowledge.
By his knowledge.
Talking about the knowledge of God. By the knowledge of God shall the righteous servant that we're reading about here justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. I'm going to pray for you that you'll be able to receive what I'm about to say. Would you close your eyes? Lord Jesus, I'm asking you, God, to cause our hearts to open wide for your word tonight. Lord, with just a few minutes, let me speak your word as you pour your word from me through my mouth to these hearts. In Jesus' name, let us see something here. And I give you praise. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this started off, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And then, just with elementary understanding, you just read a few more words. And if you don't see it, you're not looking for it. Amen. Because it's like, the teacher gives you a question and the answer, and then says, now tell me the answer. And it's right there before us. Amen. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. The arm of the Lord is Jesus Christ. And there's a lot in the Word of God about the power of the outstretched arm of God, the right hand of God. There's much in the Word of God about Jesus Christ being God's way of touching our lives with his outstretched arm. But I'm here tonight to discuss with you the knowledge of our God. There's so much in the Word of God about his way is so high. I want to read just a little bit more. Amen. In the 55th chapter of Isaiah, starting starting at verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." It is so easy for us to limit ourselves with such a great potential set before us from the blessings that are available to us from the God that wants us to be blessed, from the God that wants to give you. He poured out the Holy Ghost on all flesh. And there's a way that you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost beyond any shadow of a doubt. And if you'll listen close to the words I say tonight, I come to you on the authority of the Word of God, telling you how to receive the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Amen. There is a way that you can get your healing beyond any shadow of a doubt, because it has been provided through the old rugged cross. And there is a way that's there, and if it's not there, the whole Word of God is a lie. We might as well close the doors of this church and quit trying to pretend that we're Christians. Because either there is healing available to us today, or God did not tell the truth. And the Holy Ghost is available to every person on the face of the earth, or either the Word of God is not true. But I think we're all convinced that the Word of God is true. And whether we're convinced or not, the Word of God is true. And if you never get healed, healing is still available, and people will get healed whether you do or not. And if you never receive the Holy Ghost is available, and people will receive the Holy Ghost whether you receive it or not. There are a lot of people who make excuses why I didn't get the Holy Ghost or why I didn't get healed. Look, there's no reason to do that. All of our excuses are manufactured in our minds. Amen. We think these things up. Listen, God wants us to have what's best for us even more than we realize that we want it. Hallelujah. Amen. His knowledge far surpasses anything that we can think of. So what are we up against? Well, many times people seek after God, and we think we've poured it all out on the altar. We've done everything we know to do. And so why am I not receiving the Holy Ghost? I can take you back just a few days. There were people standing right here in this pulpit saying, "I have made up my mind. I'm expecting to receive. I'm doing all I know to do, and I'm expecting to go all the way with this thing. I'm committed to it. I'm breaking my ties with the past. I'm breaking off from this and doing that and this. I want to go to church. I want to serve God, and I'm going for that Holy Ghost." And then they were baptized, did not receive it, and they're not here and not serving God. What happened? God knew the end from the beginning. Now, we can think we've got it all figured out, but God saw this moment coming, because in those lives, God doesn't just see how we think. He knows the direction of the path we take, and He knows if we're not fully committed. He knows if we're not really, really in tune with Him. He knows if there's a division in our mind, even if we don't know it. I can think I've really got my mind made up. That's why David said, "Oh God, search my heart. Search me. see if there's any wicked thing. I'm telling you, sometimes you cannot find your own wickedness no matter how you try. There's something in human nature that wants to see our innocence, wants to make excuses and say, there's nothing wrong with me. It's not my fault. I'm justified because that one did that and that one did this and it's like this. It's like... No, stop your thinking. Think not. Just forget about how you think. Lean on God. He knows the way you take. He knows the end from the beginning. If you want the Holy Ghost, you're going to have to get past yourself. Yes. Hallelujah. His knowledge. His way. Amen. And His way is this way. When I say, I want to serve God, that means everything in me, anything that I'm interested in, anything I like, my hobbies, my friends, the way I am, my ambitions, all my plans, I put it all on the altar. And I just give myself to God and I say, God, here I am. And I don't just say it. There is no such thing as salvation just by saying a few words. But there has to be something come from the very innermost part of the individual unto God. And God knows you're there. And when that happens, you will touch God. And the hand of God will touch you. And nothing can separate you from the love of God that will be shed abroad in your heart. You will speak in tongues. You will be released in the Holy Ghost. You will have joy like a river springing up in your life. That's the truth. That's the truth. Amen. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, it's so easy for us to see our own hands. This is not critical of anybody. We all have been down that road. But once you receive God's Spirit in your life, you look back and say, wow, that was easy. It is. But for some of us, it's so hard because we go time and time and time. Sister Gloria came here for a long time. But Sister Gloria, when you received the Holy Ghost, was it something difficult? It was easy, wasn't it? See, I'm glad she agreed with me. I'd be on the spot, wouldn't I? But I remember how she wanted it. And she saw God knows the end from the beginning. The very first time Sister Gloria called on God, she could have received the Holy Ghost then. God is not waiting for it to become the right time and the right place for you to receive the Holy Ghost. He poured it out upon all flesh before you were born. Hallelujah. And it's just a matter of your flesh getting in harmony with God's way and not our way. Thank you, Jesus. That's why we're not all that impressed sometimes when people say, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. The Lord's not even impressed. He taught that lesson a long time ago. When you start making plans, say, if it be the will of the Lord. You know. And there's some things that they just are the will of the Lord. And you just say, Lord, have your way. And mean it. And mean it. Lord, have your way. Amen. I thank God for the knowledge of God. I can't figure this stuff out. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. By His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Brother Dana, I believe it was Brother Dana, was looking on a news article yesterday. Wasn't that you, Brother Dana, about these sheep jumping off? Yeah. There was a shepherd. How many sheep jumped off of that cliff? About 1,000 or something? So it's 1,500 plus 4, almost 2,000 sheep. Yeah, and here's what happened. These shepherds, and all these people had, this just happened this week. All these people had pulled together and they had hired all these shepherds to watch after all these sheep, almost 2,000 sheep. And they had them up on a mountain. And one of the little sheep decided on its own to not follow the shepherd and not stay with the shepherd and not stay with the way things are provided, and this one little sheep that wanted to be different jumped off a cliff. And almost 2,000 followed him. They all jumped. And the shepherd, no matter what they did, they couldn't stop those sheep. They were running, trying to grab those sheep, trying to stop them. But they stood helpless and watched almost 2,000 sheep jump off a cliff. 400-something of them died instantly, and the rest of them piled on the soft cushion, and they lived. But sheep generally are dumb. And Jesus so often refers to his people as sheep. And I've seen that happen so many times. One person can decide, I'm going to do it my way. And almost every time there's somebody right behind them saying, me too. Me too. And it doesn't matter what the pastor says. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. It doesn't matter what the great shepherd says. All the knowledge in the world, all the promises in the world, all the God that there is available will not stop you from going your way until you decide to turn back around and stop the direction you're taking. Hallelujah. You got to stop. If the direction you're taking isn't working, change directions. If it is working, keep going. And you know. Hey, how many of you can say, I have been healed? How many of you can say, I have been set free from some things? How many of you can say, I know how God has answered some of my prayers? And that's a pretty good direction you're going on right there. How many of you can say, I feel a peace when I say hallelujah and I start praising, Lord, I feel peace? How many of you can testify tonight, I enjoy going to church? That's a blessing from God. Amen. You want to go to church? That's something that God put in you. It certainly didn't come from the devil. That's a good direction. Amen. Does it feel good sometimes just to say hallelujah? Praise God. That wouldn't feel so good if you were a rebel. Amen. If you were determined not to live for God. If you had something in you. And here's the beautiful thing about God. Even if you're going astray, He knows so much about the direction you're going that He sees if you're going to go a good direction at some point. And He may bless you abundantly now in such a way that you don't even understand why you got blessed. Because God knows so far ahead of where you are, while you're down in the valley trying to figure out how you got down here, you landed on all these other sheep, you went the way they went, they died, and you're still alive, and you're going to make it somehow. And God just keeps blessing you no matter what you do, which way you go, how rebellious you seem. Why? Because when He hung on that old rugged cross, when Jesus was hanging there, He was making a way for those who would sooner or later from their heart turn to Him with all their hearts. Hallelujah. And He knows your way. He knows your heart. And if you have down inside you something that's intending to make it, regardless of how hard you think you're fighting it, He's still going to save you. That's what the cross is all about. Everybody else can say there's no justification. There's no reason why you should not be saved. But He wants to justify you. Amen. And if He can find in your heart something that's yet going to turn to Him, all the rebellions, all the sins, all the falling off the cliff that you may get involved in will not stop Him from saving you if you want to be saved. Hallelujah. He will protect your life until you get there. He will heal you over and over until you get there. He will not let you die without the Holy Ghost if down inside of you with all your heart you love Him and you want Him and you're going for Him no matter what happens. Hallelujah. So we don't give up on those that are not here who said, I will be here, because I don't know. I've seen so many people. We've got some here tonight who made commitments and failed. Who made commitments and failed. Who made commitments and failed. And now the road's more steady. And I don't know if they're going to make it. But God knows. And I say there, I'm talking about most of us. Who knows what's going to come up tomorrow to try to lead you off this way or lead you off that way? Who knows what's going to happen the very next time you turn a corner and there's something you always desired, always wanted, and the opportunity is there? Who knows what frame of mind you will be in? Who knows how sincere you really are? God does. God does. And so when we see people take a wrong turn or do a wrong thing, we're instructed in the Word of God not to judge them. Amen. Just let God be God. Keep preaching the Word. Keep preaching with love. Keep showing them Calvary. Keep showing them the fact that Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died and made a way through the knowledge of God to draw all unto Him whosoever will. Amen. I'm going to go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians. Amen. For this cause, I'm in the third chapter. I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. For you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace, everybody say grace. The grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation, everybody say by revelation, he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by his Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Amen. Now I want you to consider what He's saying here. It's easy for us to put the apostle now up on a big pedestal, read these words and say, wow, look what God did for him. But this apostle of the Lamb of God was just a human being like we are. He was chosen of God to be an apostle. But he had to go through a time of repentance. He had to go through a time of baptism in Jesus' name. And he received the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. And he taught church people to keep order in the church. And watch, you know, how you do things, try to keep order. But I thank God, he said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. So never was he doing away with these things. But he was a person who needed God. And God took this man, who was a sinner, an individual. See, because God's knowledge is so different to our understanding. He took this notorious, murdering man who was against Jesus and anybody that loved Jesus. He wanted to see all the Jesus name people dead. And God saw that as opportunity. We would see that if somebody rose up against us like Saul of Tarsus was. Oh, my. Oh, how terrible that is. But don't ever underestimate the grace of God. Your strongest, greatest enemy, mocker of the church, those in your life that you think would never look this direction, present a great opportunity for the saving grace of God that's wrapped up in the knowledge of God. And what we don't see, He sees. What we don't know, He knows. What we can't do, He can do. We're just given instructions by the foolishness of preaching to just go ahead and preach to those that believe. Amen. God will deal with them. Just keep on preaching. Just keep on singing. Keep on living it. Keep on smiling. Keep on being happy. Keep on testifying. Keep on being able to say, I feel good. Let them get mad over and over. Let them not understand your liberty. Don't flaunt it in front of them, but just be there. And when they're mean to you, love your enemies. Why did Jesus teach that? Everybody knows you're supposed to hate your enemies. No. Jesus said, love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. Why do you suppose He taught such lessons? It's because God knows something that we don't know. Praise God. In our effort to please God, obey God, even if it doesn't feel right, love them anyhow, forgive them. No matter how many times it takes, forgive them over and over. If they sin against you hundreds of times in the same day, forgive them, 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 forgive them. Keep forgiving them, keep forgiving them. Why? God knows. I sure don't understand it. Forgive them, they do it again. 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 Forgive them, do it again. And I haven't even gotten near the number that Jesus said. You would really get tired if I would go on to 70 times 70. Say, they did it again. Forgive them, they did it again. Forgive them, they did it again. Forgive them, they did it again. That would take a long time, wouldn't it? Praise God. What He was saying, no matter how many times you're wrong, forgive. Put it in the hands of God. No matter how many times people abuse you, forgive. Put it in the hands of God. Because God knows what's best for us, God knows what's best for them. One of the worst things I ever encountered in my life was the inability to forgive somebody that wronged me. And I found out that when I was able to get past that point that was so hard to get past, I mean, I had said in my prayer, Lord, if that person will just say, I'm sorry, I'm wrong, I'll forgive them. That didn't work. It didn't work. If they will just acknowledge in some way that they did wrong, I'll just forgive them and put it behind me. You know what? It seemed like God put His hand over His ears while I was praying. He didn't want to hear that. I was trying to seek for the will of God in my life. I was trying to find something that grab a hold of something that I felt like was the will of God. But I was seeking for God's direction in it. And I was asking Him. And it kept coming up. This face of this man kept coming up in my life. And he had done me wrong. And I knew he had done me wrong. And he lied and he did all these terrible things. And he made me look bad. And I just wanted admission out of him. Just wanted him to tell somebody, I've been wrong, and I'm sorry. And I said, God, if... I found out that that's not an acceptable prayer. The only time during that session of time in my life that I got an answer from God was when I quit saying, Lord, if He'll do this, or Lord, if He'll do that. When I finally broke past that and I said, God, no matter what He does, doesn't do, no matter what, I forgive Him. That was when I found my blessing. That's when I found my answer. Now, I had gone through several months of trying to figure all this out. Several months of feeling dehydrated in the spirit. Amen. Several months of feeling like I'm starving. My fast was not natural food. I was going without spiritual food. Go to church and all I could think of was how mean that man was. How bad that. Every time I wanted to worship God, I saw him. He was like somebody haunting me. Stalking me. Every time I wanted to say praise the Lord, I saw him right in front of me. Ooh. I'd wake up in the middle of the night and want to say, thank you, Jesus. And there He was in bed with me. He lived 4,000 miles away, but there he was. I'd wake up and there he was. I'd dream about him. I could see myself knocking on his door and grabbing him by the collar and putting my finger in his face. I woke up feeling happy about that. And then I started praying. Didn't work. I didn't want to hear the preacher when he said, no matter what they've done, forgive. Put it behind you. Let it go. Walk on. Didn't want to hear that. Can't I just hold a little bit of a grudge against this man? He's done me so wrong. He's done me so wrong. I'm going to tell you something. It took me a long time to get over something that happened since I've been in Connecticut concerning my father and his passing and some things that went wrong. I had to do a whole lot of forgiving. And, you know, I say I had to, but now I look at it and I'm so glad. I'm so glad that the grace of God let me live long enough to get past all those roadblocks. Because God saw something I didn't see in my own heart. I didn't see how in the world God could ever bless those people. I didn't see how in the world that any justification could come to any one of them that had done these terrible things. But there was a time, there was a period of time that every time we had church, I saw that congregation and I just wanted them to admit they've done wrong. There was a period of time that a lot of my saying hallelujah was I was just hanging on the best I could, but I was feeling so terrible. I was hurting so bad and I just wanted some way to get this justified and rectified. But how do you fix it? I thought, well, they need to apologize to that man. But how can they apologize? He's dead. Then I got to thinking, well, they'll never get forgiven because they can't apologize to him. God took me in these, or I wouldn't say took me, but he met me in these circles. Time and time again. And in spite of all my thoughts, and in spite of all my awkward ways, he provided me water when I was thirsty and food when I was hungry. I wandered in the desert dry and thirsty, but he was an oasis for me every time I needed him. Amen. He provided a rock in the wilderness and water that I could run to, and that rock was Christ. Every time I needed something, God was there. He knew how to be there. It didn't matter what the circumstance, how dried up the way seemed to be. Water was there. Why? He knew just as he knew with the children of Israel. No matter how long you go in circles, no matter how long you're lost, the promise of God is with you. The Word of God is with you. And if any of you are determined to make it, God's going to meet with you wherever you are and keep beating you and keep helping you until you finally break through. Hallelujah. God knew I meant it when I said, I want to go all the way with you, Jesus. I want to go to heaven. I want to be saved. I want to follow you. I want to be willing and obedient to do whatever you call me to do. And regardless of how big the bump was, God knew that he had in his knowledge what it takes to take me over that hill. What it takes to take us through that valley. What it's going to take us past that enemy. Some of the best blessings I ever received have been blessings in telephone conversations and in face-to-face conversations with those very people that I spent several years trying to figure out how to deal with them. Since then, it felt so good when one of the ladies or one of the board members committed suicide. Felt so good to be able to call him. One of the biggest problem makers, troublemakers during that time. To call him and say, brother, I just want to call you and tell you I love you. Now, it totally shocked him. Totally surprised him, but he broke down and cried. He said, Brother Rendell, you don't know how much that means to me. And I said, and brother, you don't know how much it means to me to be able to say this to you. I do love you. I do love you. Then we started having fellowship. Since that time, I've met with that brother over and over. And we've had good fellowship. There was a group of people, and there's others I could tell you about, but I'm trying to keep the time short and stay on focus here. The knowledge that God has to see you through. There was a group of people, amen, board members in a church that I pastored in Louisiana. They rose up against the pastor. It was a church that was divided over several issues, and I was trying to hold people together. And they rose up trying to take it in their own hands to pull things together because they saw the division that I saw. And it's never the place of a committee in any church to override the pastor and try to straighten the other sheep out, because board members are sheep just like the other sheep. God calls pastors to pastor. God calls evangelists to evangelize. God calls prophets to be prophets. God calls teachers to be teachers. And if you're not any of those, if you're not the pastor of a church, then you don't need to try to pastor upon the pastor. Hallelujah. You'll end up leading a bunch of other people off a cliff. But these people became unruly sheep. And no matter what I did, it wouldn't work. And they plotted and plotted and plotted until they convinced each other, one by one, that they had to stand together. Even though some of them did not want to go along, they wanted to keep unity among them. And they felt like for the sake of the church, they better just keep their unity even though they disagreed. So they all, even though they didn't want to be my enemy, some of them became my enemy anyhow just to keep unity in the church. That's no way to keep unity in the church. And it made it so difficult that I finally resigned that church and went away, got out of their way. And another pastor went in there and took up where I left off. And he started preaching Jesus, forgiveness, and making things right with your brother. One day I was in a service in Shreveport, Louisiana. And all these board members and that pastor met with me, wanting to talk. I didn't know what to expect, that they wanted to talk. And here they came, following their pastor. These men that had been mean to me, following the pastor, and came up to me. And their pastor said, Brother Rutledge, these brothers have some things to say to you. And one by one they lined up, and as they stood before me, big tears came in each one of their eyes. And they started saying, forgive me. I love you. I was wrong. You know what? It did them more good. It did me good, but it did them more good. Because I knew back in those days, and they were doing all this mischief and all this crazy stuff, including lying and stealing and all kinds of things. I knew that as a shepherd, following the great shepherd and trying to feed them, I knew that they were in trouble with God. And it really bothered me. I didn't really hold that big a grudge, but it did bother me for a while, but I got past it. But what bothered me most was I felt like they were all lost. What a blessing it was. Glory. When the grace of God had seen them through that time, it looked like every one of them were headed for hell. I thought they were. I didn't want them to go there, but I didn't see how it could keep from happening because they were doing wrong, but God saw them through. One by one, their good pastor had taught them, Jesus is one who will forgive as you forgive, who will give mercy as you show mercy. And as they started saying, forgive me, I did wrong. One brother couldn't be in that service, but he called me from a hospital bed. And he said, Brother, I'm dying. And I just wanted to tell you, I was wrong. And I'm sorry before I die. And I said, well, brother, I forgave you a long time ago, but I'm so blessed that you saw fit to do this. Then he started crying and praising God and speaking in tongues over the phone. He got healed. He got healed. I'm telling you that in the knowledge of God, along with being able to forgive others, there is healing that can come into your life. Along with being able to face people and say, let's just let that be water under the bridge. I love you. Come on, be my friend. There is Holy Ghost power in the knowledge of God. Amen. I'm almost through. I almost hate to say that because some of us Pentecostals, have our mind on everything else except the Word of God that's coming forth. I know because I've been around for a long time. And at this point right now, the next few words that you either hear or don't hear can mean for you eternal life or eternal damnation. Because I'm not up here by myself tonight. And if you're ignoring me, you're ignoring Jesus. And if you're not listening to the Word of God that's coming forth right now, you're not hearing Jesus, because Jesus is speaking through me to you. But if your heart is so hard that all you can see is the washing you need to do, the places you need to go, the sleep you need to get, this and that that you're responsible for and you got to attend to, you're going to hell. That's not something I put on you. But hell is real. And if you don't break this direction, some of you have been going to church here for years. You used to seek after God and now you stand back. God saw you doing that back when you said, I want Him with all my heart. He knew there was going to come a time because your heart wasn't right with God back then. Why do you think you didn't get the Holy Ghost? Did God hold it back? No, He knew you would be holding back just like you are right now. And if you plan to go to heaven, you need to step on the gas and get in this altar and seek Him more than you ever did before. Hallelujah. Because you're going to go to hell riding on the wings of a glorious church. Let's clap our hands to Jesus. But doesn't that sound awful? To hear a preacher say, you're going to hell. It sounds so bad that people want to do away with hell. Sister Vicki asked me on the telephone yesterday that somebody asked her a question about a movie that they were watching out in Oklahoma City. Some people were watching. Hell is full, heaven's full, there's no room to go to either one, so what are we going to do? He said some of the people were so caught up in it that they were believing that movie. You know, it was really a dilemma. What are we going to do? Heaven's so full and hell is so full. What's going to happen to the rest of us? Look, that didn't come in the knowledge of God. I told Sister Vicki, I said, the more people that want to go to hell, there's going to be room for them. The Bible says hell hath enlarged itself. I don't think we have to worry about heaven getting too full. Praise God. Somebody going to make a lot of money on that movie. Praise God. But in this church right now, the opportunity of grace and mercy is right here before you. An old rugged cross has been provided, arms stretched out, and the hand of God wants to touch your life and wants to break you. Some of you can't even forgive God because He hasn't come across like you thought He should. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. This whole thing going on in the world today, man raising up to be like God. Man is following the very pattern of Lucifer. It's humanism. Secular humanism. Take prayer out of anything. Out of the schools. What do you have now left? Cursing, swearing, lying, fornication, adultery, witchcraft, anything else, but don't pray. Take the Ten Commandments out of the courtrooms. Well, what are we going to judge by? Aren't we there because we're not supposed to steal? Aren't we there because we're not supposed to kill? Aren't we there because of the laws of the land that teach us that we're not supposed to do these things? God's law, amen, you take that out, so what do you have? Corrupt judges, lying, conniving, scheming, lawyers who just want your money. They don't care how they have to lie to get it. They'll set you free. They'll argue you no matter how guilty you are. You can murder and still get set free. Hallelujah. We need the Ten Commandments. We need prayer. We need Bible reading. Thank you, Jesus. While America is going down the drain because of these things, there are people in Russia tonight having devils cast out in the schoolrooms. Having miracles take place. Cancers falling off of their bodies. Right there on the government properties. Right in front of legislatures and people in high business there in Russia. It's going on right now. While America's doing away with it. I remember in my lifetime, it was Russia that was saying, there is no God. If you get caught reading the Bible, we'll kill you. There is no God. A cosmonaut went into space and said, I don't see any God up here. Ha, ha, ha. I remember that. I was listening to the news that day. Now today, America is saying, there is no God. And Russia is saying, we want God. Well, God knows our direction. God has grace. If you really want Him, American, Russian, whoever you are, you will find Him. If you don't find Him, you didn't want Him as much as you thought you did. Let's praise Him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Your knowledge is wonderful. Your knowledge is wonderful. Sister Annie gave an awesome testimony tonight. A beautiful testimony. About these things we need to leave behind. Let go of them. That's why she's talking about this luggage. If you can think of anything in your life, it doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. If it's keeping you from God, it's not right. If nobody sees anything wrong with it, if it's holding you back, it's wrong. Hallelujah. Praise God. While I read the notes and mail I've got here, is there somebody? Is there somebody that wants God enough that doesn't feel like that you are where you should be and can be, that you are willing to come up here no matter who else does or does not? And you're not going to wait on somebody to take the first step. You're not going to just be a follower. Right now you're saying, just becoming now, I want Him. I don't care what happens. I want God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bill in Kentucky and wife Teresa's son Kevin. Kevin has many ailments, goes to Lexington Hospital on the 14th. Pray for Bill's daughter in Indiana. She needs to be delivered from drugs. She's trying to stay dry at this time. Just remember this. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We've had several people stand in this pulpit I'm going to tell you something. You stand here and you make a commitment to God, and then you don't show up to church three or four services, no matter how many notes you want to write, what I said was you, whether you want to admit it or not. You need to get past it and forgive yourself, yourself in the eyes of God, and get in this church and go through, because God's seeing the heart. The heart says, I'll be there after you say I'll be there. And when you're not there, the heart said it, but it didn't mean it. Well, you know what, brothers? Look, I could take you to 100 catastrophes right now. People who thought they would never, ever go back to where they were. But they didn't just go back. They went back to something worse than they ever knew before. Because when you make a commitment to God, and then you just back up a little bit, the devil gets in the driver's seat. And everything you do from that point forward, you think it's okay. I'm not up here playing games and patty cake with the devil tonight. I heard from God, and I don't take back anything I've said in this message. If you want God and you don't want to go to hell, come to your church. Be faithful to God. Mean it, and get in this altar and pray. Hallelujah. Forgive. Forgive. Some of you may need to forgive me for preaching like this. For forgive me. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Who else wants to come forward with these? There's people up here that says, I want God, no matter what. If there was ever a time that you thought you would never be standing here, thank God that God saw you through that time. He saw you standing here. I appreciate a note I got right here, because it tells me that there's somebody that still has a desire, that does not want to be counted among those who are drawing back and not meaning it. I believe that from the heart God is seeing even beyond anything we see. And I want to tell you, everyone that have stood here and said, I want to serve God, I'm believing that they're going to be singing in choirs, raising hands, speaking in tongues, praising God. Because if they mean it, they will. Thank you, Jesus. But there's over 200 people in Norwich, Connecticut right now in this area that said they meant it too. And they're out there drinking and boosting it up and partying tonight. And they're not in church. They were here saying, I'm going all the way with God. Some of them were preachers. Some of them were teachers. Some of them were altar workers. They were doing what they could at that time. But God knew their hearts, and they didn't know what they were doing when they went the way of the world and stopped going to church. Started out sitting a little toward the back. Missed one service. It won't hurt. Two services. Three services. Hallelujah. And then it always came back when I'd preach like this, one of them would say, well, you don't have to be there in order to be saved. Right. Amen. So I guess they're saved today, since there's cursing and lying and stealing and living a life of a dog in an alley. It'd be better just to stop making excuses and just get in here with all your heart. Sing those songs, testify, let those tears flow. Be happy, let God be God. Let God bring you out of the rut that you got yourself in. Let Him rescue you and set you free and make a life that you desired when you said it. Thank you, Jesus. We're not going to fool God. Who wants the Holy Ghost? God wants you to have it more than you want it. Because when you want it like He wants you to have it, you're going to have it. Raise your hands and start praising your God tonight. Give your heart to Him. Forgive everything and everybody. If you're on the internet tonight, receive the Holy Ghost right there. Get past the thoughts and the feelings and the resentment and receive your God. God is able to touch you right where you are. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Do you want God? You want a healing touch? Not just a touch, but a healing? Hallelujah. He was wounded for our transgression, and by His stripes we are healed. And in the New Testament, by His stripes ye were healed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I saw a lady in Russia with a withered hand. I told this to some of my American preacher friends, and they looked at me with eyes that seemed to doubt every word I said, and they walked away like they were totally disgusted because they didn't believe the report. But I'm telling you, the arm of the Lord still touches withered hands, just as Jesus healed the man with a withered hand in the temple. I saw it with my own eyes, a lady with a withered hand, a discolored, withered, small hand. I saw it grow back to normal size. I saw this Russian lady hold that hand in the air and start saying, da, 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 because God miraculously healed her hand as she stood there believing with all her heart the report that Jesus will heal you. Thank you, Jesus. We got too many things to distract us, and it caused us to look this way and that way. Those dear Russian people had years and years of torture and had to worship in private, behind closed doors in basements with candlelight and softly whisper the name of Jesus. Spent their lifetimes watching loved ones get drugged into the woods and tortured and sent to Siberia to die just because they got caught saying hallelujah or clapping their hands like we freely do. It took us a whole week to get those people to start clapping their hands while we were there. They were afraid to clap their hands. They spent their whole life wanting to, but afraid to, because they would be killed or tortured. But when they finally started clapping those hands, we saw it one by one. Sheep started following sheep. It started over here, then it went a little further, then it went a little further. Pretty soon they were all just clapping their hands because they were free. They were free to clap their hands unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. A little lady came running up. She was motioning for me and saying, you know, and she couldn't speak my language. I couldn't speak hers, and our interpreters were all busy praying with people. And so she was trying to say something. I didn't know what she was saying. And she was excited. And I finally got the interpreter to come over and tell me what she was saying. And she said, I had this large growth on my neck. It's been there for years. And said, I sat back there and I saw these people get healed. And I saw the miracles happening around me. And I felt of my neck and my growth was still there. And it was bothering me. She said, because I believed what the preachers were saying. And I thought, if they can get healed, surely I can get healed. And she said, I was becoming vexed and it was bothering me. And I got out of my seat and I headed up here to complain about this thing still being on my neck. But she said, when I got up here, it was gone. You don't have to believe that. Well, if you don't believe it, it may not happen for you. But if you can just get that kind of faith, God will heal your cancer. God will heal your heart disease. God will heal your sugar diabetes. God will heal your high blood pressure. God will give you the Holy Ghost. God will heal your mind. God will heal everything in you. Hallelujah. 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 He didn't just stretch out those arms on Calvary to play patty cake. He didn't bow His head and die and shed all that blood just to say, you go on and live your life like you want to and I'll make it okay in the end. No, He did something and He wants us to do something too. He loved us. He forgave us. He made a way for us. Let's praise Him some more tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Are some people going to suck on a cigarette all the way to hell and endure these services But nothing is going to stop that habit. When Jesus stretched out His arms and suffered and died, don't you think you can suffer a few withdrawals to go to heaven? What's so wrong with cigarettes? Nothing if you want to go to hell. Well, cigarettes make me go to hell? No. Your attitude will. Your stinking rotten attitude that says, I'm not going to do whatever I have to do, no matter what the preacher says. How about beer drinking? Beer drinking won't make you go to hell. But why it makes you drink, it might. Why is it that people want to reach for all these things when the Jesus that is the answer is right here within reach, closer than the nearest tavern, less expensive than a package of Marlboro? Come ye with no money. Buy, eat, drink. Thank you, Jesus. Get hooked on God. So much, it don't matter. Like Brother Mike said, I don't care what they think. I'm going forward. I'm going to grab a hold of everything I've got. He probably had discouraging times in the past, but God saw tonight. Thank God for His foreknowledge, for His ability to see no matter what we're going through, down inside there, there's a determination. I'm going to make it. With God's help, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. Amen. People may accuse you of being judgmental when you say some of the things I'm saying tonight. But I'm not being judgmental. I am a watchman on the wall sounding a trumpet for Jesus. For Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus wants you to be saved. Jesus wants you to be saved. Jesus wants you to be healed. Jesus wants you to prosper. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's praise Him again. Thank Him again. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. We've heard from the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's thank the Lord now for His mercy. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, from the bottom of our heart. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Can't say too much more than what's already been said here. Amen. Hope you've heard it. Take it to heart. Praise God, because I've watched many in time past who didn't. And became fools when they could have become wise. Amen. Don't let that be you. Lord, we thank You tonight for the grace speaking to us tonight, the beautiful Word of God. We thank You, Lord. We thank You for the watchmen saying what has to be said. Praise God. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Praise Your holy name, O Lord. Hallelujah. You're worthy of all of our praise. There's none like You. Praise God. Amen. God bless you tonight. Amen. God bless you. See you Tuesday.